Creating that variety with the blocks helps spread things out. It makes our days more predictable and ultimately helps us meet our goals.
Welcome to the 3D Dentist Team podcast, The Dental Diaries, where we explore implementing the 3D Dentist systems from a team perspective. Join me, Meredith, and my co-host, Aubrey, as we share insights on cultivating growth and support within your dental team.
Whether you're new to the dental field or a seasoned pro, our podcast dives into topics like effective team dynamics and patient care strategies. Expect engaging discussions and expert insights to elevate your dental practice.
So hit subscribe and join us on this journey to transform your practice with the 3D Dentist Team podcast, The Dental Diaries.
And like always, keep flossing and stay bossing. All right. Welcome back to the 3D Dentist Team podcast, The Dental Diaries. I'm Aubrey and I've got Meredith here joining me in Nashville from Raleigh.
Yes, we're here recording today. Hanging out. I just flew in so we could hang out and record.
Look at how beautiful she looks.
A whole lot of work. Well, I did just get my teeth done.
She sure did. Fresh grill.
Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about what it means to know the score.
Yeah. So we always talk about knowing the score, knowing the score, knowing the score. And I feel like we drill that in. But, you know, I think now looking back, like we say, do you know the score? And team members are always like, yeah. But like, what is knowing the score?
Yeah.
Like, what numbers are we looking at? Where do these numbers come from? And I've got my numbers girl here. Yeah. So, I mean, if there is any question you have about your numbers, I can promise you Aubrey can find it.
I should have gone to school to be an accountant.
I know. Yeah. You are a very numbers person, but we make a great combination. I appreciate you.
Well, thanks. But yeah, I mean, basically knowing the score is so important because we always use the analogy of sports. But like, can you imagine going through an entire football game and not having a clue?
Or a scoreboard. You just...
Yeah, knowing or having a scoreboard up to see where you're at. Like,
I think you would cheer when you saw touchdowns, but like you would just keep cheering and then like the other team would score and you would cheer. And then you'd be like, well, wait, where are we at?
Yeah.
And so I think that's such a good analogy because that kind of gets us into like our first score to know. And that is the monthly BAM.
Yeah.
But like, I think it starts before we even start to know that score. We have to define it. Mm-hmm. So like, where do we get that BAM?
Yeah.
That bare ass minimum.
I was going to say, and BAM stands for bare ass minimum. Because ultimately, you know, as team members, and the hard part about this too, is that, you know, none of us went to business school.
Right.
We went to assisting school or hygiene school or dental school. Like, they don't teach you numbers.
And you have a useless biology degree.
Oh, same. I was a nutrition major. I don't do much with that. So, yeah, they don't teach you these things. And so then when we're trying to teach our team members how to pay attention to certain reports or know certain numbers, it feels like it becomes salesy for some reason. Like it feels like we're not taking care of the patients anymore and we're more worried about the business. But at the end of the day, for us to take care of our patients, we have to have a healthy business. So the BAM really is a number that we at 3D Dentists, we have a calculation and formula that we like to use, but it really helps us just create or define what that number should be based on the team members that we have.
Yeah. And then we set our goal off of that.
Yeah. So we basically make that a known number. And so that our team knows that this is what our BAM is for every month. It's a monthly number. Yeah. And then from there, we really can just reverse engineer and work backwards on how do we meet this every month?
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Yeah. And then the way we do that is we break it down by providers.
Mm-hmm.
So because you may have some providers in the office. And when I say provider, that's anywhere from the owner doctor to the associate to assistant-driven procedures, hygiene, treatment coordinator. I guess that ends up going to the doctor's production. But that's something that we track, too, just to see where it's all coming from and how we're reaching those goals and how we're hitting those goals.
Yeah. And really, you could even look at it as like every column on your schedule is its own business within the business.
Yes.
So how, you know, we use the phrase entrepreneur, that word sometimes, but it's like, how can I meet my own goal within our business so that it helps the overall business hit their goal.
Yeah. So do you know how, you want to know the analogy T-Bone used with me to help me understand this when he was teaching?
Oh yeah, dying to hear it.
So he said that this is like, you know, Saks Fifth Avenue and you're the Chanel boutique.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I was like,
wow, that was his way of describing. Yes. He knew his audience.
Yes. So he was trying to relate, right? Like, you have to give him credit somewhere, right? So he was like, this department is the Chanel boutique and you're responsible for so much in sales. And I mean, I think he made me Louis Vuitton and I asked to be Chanel or something, but you know, you get it. And each, you know, somebody is the makeup department.
I'll claim Gucci.
And then, yeah, like, you know how there's different boutiques within them, but then maybe somebody is like the entire shoe department because it makes that, like, so I'd say maybe our general dentistry is the entire shoe department where it's a bunch of different brands, but it is a big part of the production. And, you know, maybe hygiene is like the makeup and that's kind of like our bread and butter, right? Like that is where we can count on it. We know it's going to be there. And then a lot of people come from that, right? So a lot of people go to makeup and they buy some makeup and they're like, oh, while I'm here, I'm going to go check out the shoes. but I just like to mention that because it really is a good way to break it down for us to kind of see where what we're working with and how everyone kind of, I mean, there's nowhere, you've worked in retail, right? It's like, I've worked in restaurants, like, there's always a goal.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's always a number we need to hit. It's not like we're just a free-for-all and we'll just take whatever walks in the door. Like, we want to do well and we want it. There's no way for us to do better. There's no way for the team to grow without growth within the practice. So, I mean, I think we say we start with a healthy business and then we can move up from there.
And sometimes, you know, if our business isn't healthy yet, it helps us figure out what we need to do to bridge that gap.
Yeah.
So how do we need to strategize with our team members? Or maybe as the doctor, like, what procedures do I need to learn to start offering in my own practice?
To become the Louis Vuitton boutique.
Yes.
What do I need to do?
Yes.
Well, talk to me about when you present the score and when you know it, because I know a lot of times I feel like people wait till it's too late. So talk to us about that.
Yeah. So we believe that it's really important to have your monthly BAM that you are working towards and then keeping track of that on a weekly basis. Ultimately, you know, you set the number as the goal and then it's important to reverse engineer and kind of work backwards to figure out how are we going to meet that goal. So with each provider, you know, everybody plays an important role. And so each doctor would have their own goal that they're working towards. Each hygienist and treatment coordinator, you know, everybody that has a column would have their own goals. The assistants that work with the doctor, they would be working towards the same goal. But on a weekly basis, we really try to dial it back to figure out, just like, again, in sports, you know, at the end of the first quarter, what do we need to do to change what we've done in week one for the rest of the month to make sure, are we on track? Do we need to get caught up? Did we have a great first week? And we need to keep doing what we're doing. But it helps us check in so that we're not waiting till the end of the month and then being scrambling and being like, shoot, how am I going to make up 20 points in the last 3 minutes of this game?
Right. Like, there's no way in the last week we can, you know, come up with $200,000. And I think that was one of the things we talked about in one of our, you know, office leaders. They were like, our team feels so discouraged because we are, you know, saying we need to hit $200,000 more. And it's, you know, we have a week left. And I'm like, well, it's too late then, you know, like at that point, we're already focusing on the next month.
Yeah.
You know, we're already looking ahead. What can we do to make sure this doesn't happen, you know, multiple months in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that point, we're just kind of setting us up to get going and get rolling for the next month because
not
much we can do.
And it feels like such a big number,
you know?
So that's why I think reverse engineering it is so important because it helps the team wrap their mind around when you say $200,000, I mean, shoot, I don't know how to do that. Like, that sounds like a lot of money. But when you start reverse engineering and working your way backwards, it's like, okay, well, if that's the goal, then that means that $50,000 is the goal weekly.
Right.
And then if I'm a provider in that $50,000, what is my part of that goal? Maybe it's $10,000. So then on a daily basis, like, what am I working towards?
Yeah. And that is, it's so crazy because we could work backwards on everything we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And guess where it all reverts back to? Scheduling.
Yep.
So that's kind of where your block scheduling comes from. And if it needs to be changed, if we're not hitting goal, then, and that's why we talked about only setting blocks out, you know, 3 to 4 months because things change.
Yeah.
We're suddenly not hitting goal, or we've gained more team members and now our We don't have more providers. Our BAM has gone up, or
our doctors have gotten quicker at certain procedures, yes, or taken on more procedures. Yeah. You know, there's
working
a number of
less.
Things.
They say they are off a week. Like, where are you going to make up that production? Because, you know, we have a goal to hit.
Speaking of strategy, I mean, if a doctor's out for a week, that's important for you as an office to talk about. Like, how are we going to make the same hit the same production goal in the month if they're out for a week of it?
Right.
That means that we need to maybe tweak our blocks a little bit so that we're doing larger cases in the days that they're here.
Yeah, we need to do more assistant-driven procedures. We need to be presenting more. We need to be presenting full treatment, saying yes to the best, not just, you know, what we can get in today or what we have availability for tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I think that sometimes looking at the big picture and thinking out loud to see where we can make that goal.
Yeah. And then in the morning, in our morning huddle, that's when we will kind of refresh everybody or update everybody on where we're at for the week, just so that it's not a super deep dive into the numbers, but it's an overall, hey guys, if we're, you know, week two in, are we halfway there? Yeah. Are we 3/4 the way there and killing it? It's just a good way to gauge where we're at in the month.
And then, track.
I think it helps give everybody a sense of unity too, because like we're all working towards the same goal and then have something really big to celebrate at the end if we hit it.
Yeah.
And then how do we do it again next month?
Right. Yeah. Let's keep this going.
Yeah.
Okay. So talk me through some of the things that just go through a couple maybe of, for example, what do you have admin track? What numbers are they looking at? What are they bringing to the table? Because we do want to keep the team involved. Like we said, like knowing the score, we don't know the score and then don't share it with anyone. And I feel like that is where a lot of doctors are like, oh, I don't want to share this. I don't want people to think, you know, this money's all going in my pocket. Like, we do make it clear, like, there is a lot of overhead in this business. There is a lot of equipment. There's a lot of people and there's a lot of things, but, you know, the team can't grow. We can't make more if we don't know that we're, you know, hitting goals, making what we want to make and, you know, moving the business forward. If we're moving backwards, then we're certainly not like, oh, yay, let's hit goal. We're hitting goal.
Mm-hmm. That's when complacency starts to creep in, because it's like, I don't know what we're just going through the motions right now on the good old hamster wheel.
Yeah.
So one thing, or a huge way that the administrative team helps, is the AR report is huge.
Yeah.
Just keeping track of and having kind of a weekly cycle of working any outstanding balances and making sure when patients are coming in, we're collecting those balances. Anything that's pending, that's collections that we can be putting straight in the bank. So that's ultimately working towards our BAM, which is a significant way that the front office plays a role, because sometimes they don't feel like they have, you know, their column or their specific production number. That's where they play a significant role in the AR. And then also on the treatment coordinator side of things, just being really strategic with the scheduling, so that if we have an opening, would we rather put a quadrant of dentistry there or a single tooth? Well, obviously, a quadrant. Or if it's an arch or a quadrant, what would we rather do? So when we're maybe suffering a little bit on down weeks, the treatment coordinator can really be looking at it through a lens of like, how can we, you know, pack more production in with fewer well-planned visits?
Yeah. And it's not presenting unneeded
dentistry.
Unnecessary dentistry. It's just presenting it in a way of, hey, we offer sedation here. A lot of our patients like to sleep through this procedure. Would you like to do all of this in one visit?
Yeah.
And that saves us time and money.
And the patient's
money is time.
Yeah.
For us, you know, like our chair time is the most expensive thing we have.
Mm-hmm. And then also, I just think it's really cool to see how the doctors step up when they know, like, hey, this is where we're at with the month and we need to get here. It's like all of a sudden it does motivate us to maybe communicate a little bit differently with our patients. And just, it's all about strategy.
Yeah. Yeah, and accountability and being a team, you know, being available to transfer, to present treatment, not just sending patients home without firm financial arrangements, getting those firm financial arrangements so we can schedule the patients. There's so many things that go into it to hit that goal. And from a clinical team member standpoint, we track, you know, obviously we track the production number of whatever column we're working with. So as an assistant, that may be, if we're working with a doctor, that may be their production. If we're an assistant-driven column, doing something like sleep or ortho, mm-hmm. then we're tracking the production on that as well as the number of procedures. So a lot of times I think the number of the money can be a little overwhelming
mm-hmm.
and can kind of be off-putting to some people.
Yeah.
So we also like to say like, hey, you know, our goal this month is for this provider is 15 implants. Let's be realistic here, right?
Mm-hmm.
15 implants. And so for their assistant to be like, hey, you know, it's the third week. We've done 12 implants. I only have one more implant scheduled. You know, we do have an open block on next Thursday. If we could get a couple implants in there or a couple implants presented, like, I'd be happy to help get those scheduled.
And then all of a sudden, what does the hygiene team do? They start looking for
missing teeth.
Yeah,
they're already there. They're right in front of us. Another big one is smile design cases. And these numbers of what that assistant is tracking really comes off of what that pod, like mm-hmm. your doctor assistant duo, doctor assistant team or pod likes to do.
Yeah.
So some doctors and assistants love to do smile design cases.
Mm-hmm.
Some like to do implants. So we're tracking what they want to do more of, what they like to do, what they have blocks for, because ultimately, yes, they're doing general dentistry and other things around it, but those are what help them hit their goal faster.
Yeah.
And going further faster is kind of our mastermind.
Mm-hmm.
And then hygiene's, I think, an easy one, right? Because
yeah.
I think they're used to this. They're used to tracking their own production. So their production.
They are, but they aren't. They don't like to.
Right. So when they're not used to tracking, and they're used to tracking perio. So like
yeah.
maybe how many perio patients they see. But one thing we like for them to track, because we value them, I think, so much more
yeah.
than most people do, is their case acceptance rate.
That's what I was going to say.
I want to talk a little bit about how you guys do that.
Yeah, I think, again, in hygiene school, they definitely didn't teach me anything about tracking my hygiene production. And so I think it can feel like this, again, salesy mentality. But what's cool is that what we really believe for at 3D Dentists, at least, is that our hygienists, their biggest value is their ability to communicate.
Right.
Same thing with assistants. Like when you have a limited or emergency exam, the best thing you can do is build rapport and get to know the patient and just give them the option to talk through their mouth, take a tour of their teeth, right. and use the pictures to make them aware of things that are going on and tee up the doctor to do potentially way more dentistry than we would if we were just taking intraoral pictures of a single tooth.
Right. Yeah.
So what we really ask our hygienists to lean into is looking more into the treatment plans they're presenting and what the average value of those treatment plans are. Because ultimately, we can only do so much with prophys and exams and bite wings and fluoride. You know,
yeah.
we can build a perio program.
It's so redundant.
Yeah.
I feel like that just burns you out just thinking about it.
Yeah. But what's exciting is, as a hygienist, being able to say, like, hey, what do you like about your smile? Have you ever... You know, is there anything that bothers you or anything that you've ever considered changing? And when that opens up so much conversation and the patient ends up doing an implant and getting their function back on a certain side or talking about cosmetics, that leads to more emotional dentistry. And that's so fun as the hygienist to be able to see them, you know, through the process from start to finish.
Yeah.
And gosh, that's way more productive for the doctor and just yields... That's where the case acceptance comes in.
Yeah. And I think it's so much more satisfying
yeah.
to be a part of the process, the part of the emotional dentistry that I feel like in hygiene, sometimes you might feel like you get left out.
Yeah. If I'm trying to talk about a filling,
right.
you know, replacing an amalgam filling.
And, you know, you feel like you're just over-educating and that's not what the patient wants, which is why they don't want to do the treatment half the time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get to present something that's, you know, literally life-changing.
Yeah.
Like getting function back or, you know, being confident.
Helping, yeah.
In their smile, like I am today.
Uh-huh. Your pearly whites.
Then I feel like it's more job satisfaction.
Yeah. And one thing that we didn't touch on or I wanted to say earlier, but that's where our blocks come into play, is like having blocks on our schedule. If you don't already have blocks on your schedule, we really encourage you to get them on there, because that's what helps you meet your goals.
Right.
So... There's
and
nothing
it
worse than having
you. I mean, it makes it so easy to hit those goals, because you can literally look at it to see where you're at. I bet you could look at your schedule just based off your blocks and know if you're on track to hit your goals or not.
Mm-hmm.
No,
and there's nothing worse than having a day full of, you know, 1 hour or the same procedure lined up back to back, 1 hour fillings lined up back to back. Not only as a provider does that get boring because it's repetitious, but it also isn't it probably isn't helping you hit your production numbers.
No, and what team member wants to flip that room all day long?
Gosh.
Versus just seeing two or three patients, maybe four patients a day.
Yeah. So creating that variety with the blocks helps spread things out. It makes our days more predictable and ultimately helps us meet our goals. And so it's cool when you start to connect all the dots. This is a really loaded topic, but hopefully for team members, it helps everybody understand why we have certain blocks or certain quantities of blocks on the schedule, why sometimes we're a little bit more booked out for certain procedures than others. But ultimately, it's because we want to make sure we're all hitting the goals that we need to at the end of the day.
Yeah, why we're limiting what's kind of holding us back in practice. So, well, I hope this helps you all to know the score within the practice and kind of the why behind knowing the score.
Yeah, if you don't, make sure, pin your doctors down and have a team meeting over it.
Yeah, yeah. So thank you all for tuning in for the 3D Dentist Team Podcast, The Dental Diaries.
And make sure to keep flossing and stay bossing.